Om Namo Parvati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Parvati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Parvati Vasudevaya. So, what has been said about the Lord's internal energy is being supported by some statement from, there's a statement from the third canto. Evam evabhipretya pratita sri brahmana tritiye. With the same idea in mind. Okay, what same idea in mind? Well, about the relationship between Vishnu and Lakshmi, that you might argue that Vishnu doesn't... that because they're non-different, the relationship seems to be illusory. Husband-wife, he's the Lord of everything. She's not different than him, then, you know, what is it? What, you know, is he his own wife? His own husband. It's sort of the what's offered is the idea that it's figurative. The calling him the Lord of the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, not because he isn't, but because he's not a separate. He's not totally separate the way that an ordinary husband is separate from his wife. In this case, his wife is his own energy. Any sane, ordinary husband shouldn't think that his wife is just his own energy. Okay, and so Brahma prays in the third canto. Esha prapanna varado ramayatma shaktya yad yad karishyati drihita gunavatara tasmin swavikramamidam svijato picheto yunjita karma shamalam chayata vijahyam. This is in Brahma's prayers before he created, prayers for empowerment, for the Lord's blessings. And he prayed, the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, is always the benefactor of the surrendered souls. His activities are always enacted through his internal potency, Rama, or the goddess of fortune. All his activities are enacted through the goddess of fortune. I pray only to engage in his service in the creation of the material world, and I pray that I may not be materially affected by my works, for thus I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. So without saying in so many words, Brahma is praying that he can also act as guided by the Lord's internal potency. The Lord does what he wants. He's free. What his desires, whatever they are fulfilled by his internal energy. The devotees of the Lord take shelter by becoming servants of that internal energy. So Brahma is praying to the Lord and to his internal energy here. Let me let Jiva Goswami continue here. Ato yat tu iti Sri Narasimha Pradubhutav Uktam. There's something that's said, therefore when it is said that during the appearance of Sri Narasimha, The following was said, I guess in the seventh canto, Sakshat Shri Prishita Devayar Drishtvata Mahadbhutam Adrishta Shruta Purvatvat Sanopeyaya Shankita. The goddess of fortune Lakshmi Ji was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present, who because of fear could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him. Well, this seems to contradict the whole thing that was said, that for every form of Vishnu that appears, there's a corresponding Lakshmi. So how come Lakshmi doesn't recognize Lord Narsingadev? She must be his corresponding consort. So, okay, there's an answer. Tatra adrishta shuta purvatvam sambramad eva jatam ityuham. We should presume that she seemed to have never seen him or even heard about him only because she was awestruck. Not that she never did see or hear about him before, but she was just confused in the situation and forgot what she had seen and heard before. Tasmat sadhu vyakyatam anapayini bhagavati ityadi. In this way, the explanation is correct, which we have given of the words anapayini bhagavati, the divine goddess who is always never separate from the Supreme Person. These words were spoken by Sri Suta. Sri Suta Goswami. Yes.
It should be anapayini.
Bhagavati is also misspelled.
Yeah,
there's an A also missing in Bhagavati.
Yeah,
you didn't catch that one. Okay. Oh, I have anapayini.
Should be anapayini.
Okay, got it. Fixed. Okay, now we read the commentary. Okay? Mm-hmm. The creator Brahma knows well that he is only an agent of him who displays as his avatars the three presiding deities of the material modes. While Lords Brahma and Shiva labor with their responsibilities, and Lord Vishnu as the avatar of Sattvagun pretends to labor along with them, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is actually passing his time in pleasure sports with his own Shaktis. Lord Brahma prays to be maintained by this Lord as a dutiful servant. See, Brahma knows, even though he's in the material world, he's not confused like everyone else, thinking that Vishnu is just sleeping. All he does is sleep and eat. He knows that Vishnu has his pleasure pastimes. So that's what he indicated that in this prayer. Lord Brahma prays to be maintained by his Lord as a dutiful servant, purified of traces of desire to usurp the position of controller and controlled. The position of controller and enjoyer. The same goddess Lakshmi who accompanied the personality of Godhead's descent of Lord Narsimha is his companion eternally in the spiritual world and everywhere else he goes. Certainly she can recognize her husband, even in disguise. But this appearance of a half-man, half-lion, furious and covered with intestines and blood, shocked her out of her normal composure, making her wonder, this must be somebody else. Okay, she knows her Lord, but Lord Narsingadev in that condition was so frightening she couldn't recognize him. Okay, any comments? Yes, Sarvik Yapabu.
How to understand that Lakshmi Devi actually, because we know that Krishna, he's known as a creator, but it is said that everything like creation is done by Lakshmi Devi. It somehow is a little bit confusing for me to understand. How Lakshmi Devi is engaged in creation of this material world?
By expanding into Prakriti. And Prakriti does the creating. Prakriti is her expansion. She does it indirectly.
Like we have Shiva and Parvati, or like usually we say that Brahma, well, Lord Brahma, he is creating this world, but now...
Well, but Brahma creates using the... Yeah, that Brahma is the secondary creator. He's in charge of the second phase of creation, Visarga. But the first phase, Sarga, is mostly is done by Vishnu and Lakshmi. The evolution of the elements comes from Prakriti. I don't mean Lakshmi, I meant Prakriti. Material nature, after being glanced at by Vishnu, she evolves those elements. That's the first phase of creation. Okay. Yes. Paramananda Parigru.
Prut, if Lakshmi has seen Narasimhadev previously, so Narasimhadev is there in spiritual world in his same half-lion, half-man?
I think so. Isn't Lord Shringadev there in his own Vaikuntha planet? Is it said that he doesn't have a planet? And okay, so he's got.
Is that same for other Matsya Avatar and Varaha Avatar, all those?
Generally, yes. There are a few avatars that don't have their planets that are only, they're called, I don't know if they're called temporary avatars, but there are avatars that only appear in the material world. Mohini Murti may be one of those. And who else? Krishni is the mother. Krishni Garba is the son. And he appeared to Dhruva Maharaj. He's also Dhruva Priya. So he only appears in the material world. Well, okay, yes.
But the avatars like Matsya Avatar, Varaha Avatar, like...
Most of the avatars have their... Avatar means descending from the spiritual world. So they originally are present in the spiritual world, and each form has its own place, its own planet.
So then,
in general, there are a few exceptions, forms that only appear in the material world.
So if the Lord is in the form of a boar or Matsya, then what is the form of Lakshmi takes? She is in the like...
Well, sometimes you see Lakshmi also in half man, half something else. Like Varaha and Varahi. So, yes? Okay, but sometimes you see otherwise. Okay, maybe not. I think I've seen pictures. Maybe they're wrong.
Lakshmi Varaha temples in many places, but we see Lakshmi is in her original form and Varaha Dev is in the face of Varaha.
Okay. Okay. I take that back, but I'm something in my head about seeing actual, you know, forms that actually appear in half human and half not. But yes.
It may not be a material enjoyment, but if they want to enjoy or sport, then how they will enjoy? Like sometimes we hear that...
Who's they?
Lakshmi and Varahadev, I suppose.
Okay.
So it's not a material enjoyment, but if they want to do the pastime of enjoying, then how it's...
They do it in the spiritual world. The enjoyment is going on in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
That's what they do in the spiritual world, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Maybe someone is disappointed to hear that. They thought we were supposed to stop enjoying. But in the spiritual world, all people do is enjoy. Vishnu's enjoying and his devotees are enjoying along with him in different sports, different rasas, different sports. And the avatars are simply showing, making a show, like demonstrating what's going on in the spiritual world. The original activities in the spiritual world is just shown in the avatar, in the material world. Whatever enjoyment the avatar is doing is just an exhibition of what he's doing in the spiritual world. And that's what he's doing there, enjoying in various ways.
Yeah, but maybe service is enjoyment there. So maybe just
Yeah. So the enjoyment is service, that's all it is.
Yeah.
There's no contrary enjoyment against devotional service. This is the essence of devotional service, is transcendental enjoyment.
Okay.
Yes.
Proji, this with the same idea in mind, how that idea is manifested in this prayer?
That's the same idea? Which is, first of all, are we sure what the same idea is? Let's go back and make sure what the same idea is.
Seems like Lakshmi and Narayan are same.
I think it is
same.
Basically, well, that's part of the idea, but more, you know, in the more sort of bigger context, the idea was that the Lord's already always accompanied personally by his, not just by his energy, but personally by his consort, the chief energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's being discussed by Brahma, that he knows that Lord, that from whose navel he grows, is always enjoying with his consort.
Maybe in the commentary it is not explained what is, it's not mentioned about that particular thing.
Okay. I'm making a note right now. Sorry, I'm just, I have to delete an extra thing here. Krishna. Okay. Explain Krishna. Okay, I wrote it.
You mentioned that Vishnu is kind of pretend to create.
What about create?
In the commentary.
Yeah.
Vishnu
what?
Pretends to labor along with them.
Oh, well, he pretends to be a guna avatar. Lord Brahma and Shiva are doing service. They're obliged to do it. They're working hard. Vishnu actually just plays. He doesn't work. But he's pretending to work. He's pretending to do the job of a guna avatar. He's not another demigod. He's pretending to be one.
Okay.
Yes?
My question was, like, we hear the pastime of Radha Krishna that sometimes Krishna takes the form of peacock. And Radharani also feels to take the form of peacock.
Well, that's not really assuming a form, that's just putting on a dress. Does Krishna actually turn into a peacock? Or does he dress up like a peacock? A lila where he actually turned into a peacock? Well, maybe she does also become a peacock. I'm not sure. No, but there's another passage where Krishna becomes a baby. Radharani doesn't become a baby. No, I think that rule that whenever the Lord goes somewhere and appears in a certain form, that applies to avatars. When he leaves the spiritual and comes to the material world, but when he's in the material world and for a certain pastime he temporarily shows a special form, that's different. That's not an avatar. You don't, when Krishna turned into a peacock for one day or for a few hours, you don't call that an avatar.
No, he is not avatar, but just like that, Radharani.
Well, I'm saying that whenever that the rule that Lakshmi always has to have a form, just like Narayan's, or you know, a matching form. She has to, when he makes a new form, she has to make a new one. I think that only applies to avatars, not to every time in every little pastime when Krishna does something special, she has to do exactly the same thing. Within Krishna came as son of Nanda Maharaj and Radharani came in a corresponding form. But you know, within that pastime, the rule is satisfied by that. It's not that everything that Krishna does, Radharani also has to do.
I was just mentioning Prishnigabha because that's what I remembered from my previous Anucheda. I thought you mentioned this before, but maybe my memory is wrong.
We had the rule that whenever the Lord appears in a certain form, the Goddess of Fortune appears in a corresponding form. That was there. But I think that means when he takes on a certain avatar, when he not just for a few hours, but when he does a whole, comes down to the world and lives a whole life. That's an avatar. Yes.
Just it would be very funny to see Srimati Lakshmi Devi in the half woman form, accompanying Lord Nisimhadeva. You can see that Lord Nisimhadeva was Nisimhadeva and Lakshmi was separately. Like in these pastimes of Lord Nisimhadeva, if you follow this rule, so it would be logical to have like...
No, I don't think it means that the form has to be the same. It just has to be corresponding. Like, Nrisimhadeva has his own Lakshmi, his own form of Lakshmi. But it's not that form of Lakshmi also has to be a lion. But she's Nrisimha's Lakshmi. She might be in a human form. There's no rule that she has to be a lion, that she has to look exactly like he does. But each avatar, each expansion of Vishnu has its own expansion of Lakshmi. There's a corresponding expansion. Not that the appearance has to be exactly the same.
So even if Krishna turns into a peacock, Radharani doesn't
have to also turn into a peacock. Yes.
Although she can do it to facilitate this pastime, she can do it, but she doesn't have to.
No, she doesn't have to. She doesn't have to also be a lion.
Okay, but just my question is that in the case of Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance, Lakshmi was already there, and it was like Lord Vishnu's Lakshmi, but then he again appeared, and then without Lakshmi, so how does it work? Well, we have few forms of...
Well, we understand Lakshmi is always there. Sometimes she's not visible.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes Lakshmi is only present or visible as on his chest, as the Srivatsa. So we have some deities that don't have a Lakshmi deity, or some Krishnas don't have a Radharani deity. But it's understood that his consort is there, but just not manifest. It's like you leave your wife home. She's over there at home. She's not appearing in public.
Also, I wanted to ask about this proof. How does this verse prove that Lakshmi and the Krishna they are like two separated entities? Like in this verse,
I think that's not what the same idea is. The same idea is simply not that they're non-different, but the simple idea, the basic idea, that whenever the Lord appears, Lakshmi always appears with him. Okay. Whenever the Lord appears, the Lord is always accompanied by his internal potency in person as his consort.
Okay,
that's
so
the basic thesis of the Anucheda.
Okay, so and therefore this is Ramaya Atma Shaktya, that Krishna Sigrihita Gunavata.
Yeah, so Brahma is confirming, he's confirming his understanding, his realization that the Supreme Lord, the one he's worshipping, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he, in that form and in all his forms, is accompanied by his Rama, his internal potency.
Mm-hmm.
And his Rama is his internal potency in person. And he's enjoying with that potency.
Ruthin, all the avatars of Vishnu, do they also do this pastime of lying on the ocean? Because if they are in the form of a boar...
What do you mean by... You mean the Leela avatars?
Hmm?
Leela avatars?
Yeah.
Like Kurma Varaha?
Yeah.
No, they don't all lie down in the ocean. That's what Vishnu does in those three forms. They lie down, but other forms of some avatars are too busy to lie down. They don't have to lie down. They don't have to lie down in an observation. That's the business of the three Vishnus.
Roji, this Lakshmi is getting awestruck, and in the commentary, you mentioned that she can recognize her husband even in disguise. So this disguise, is it in the sense that Lakshmi has seen Narsingadev in his Narayan form, but right now he is in a disguise of lion, half man, half lion form, and he is awestruck seeing him?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say yes, because the Lord Narsingh appearing like a lion is not just a disguise.
Yeah.
You know, like putting on a costume. He eternally is in that form.
So, but this disguise here is not clear. People may think.
Well, if he was wearing a disguise, she would still recognize him. Not that Narsingadev is a disguise.
And then after that disguise, it supports of half man, half lion, furious, covered with intestines, blood.
Well,
it is disguised, because she has seen the same lion form in the spiritual world. Now she is also seeing. Only thing is, just because of the blood and intestines, that's a disguise there, or what?
It's okay. I'm making a comment here. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. Well, okay, maybe I leave it not properly explained. Maybe I don't understand myself why she doesn't recognize him. It's really just yoga. I'll get to you in a second. Let me say this. It looks like it's yoga maya acting, that she should recognize him, but yoga maya has, you know, is being doing her service of making the Lord and the Lord's devotees not realize what's actually going on. Because otherwise she should be able to recognize him in any condition. So maybe this last sentence doesn't explain it. Just because he's covered with intestines, you know, she still should be able to recognize him. Isn't it the effect? Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
In this particular point, when came in seventh canto,
yes.
I remember in the Bhagavatam class which I attended before, there was some discussion why she did not recognize. Maybe
yes.
Some,
so what would say there?
I think they referred to some commentaries. I don't remember what conclusion they came about. Maybe in the commentaries of the Bhagavatam Tikas, there must be some explanation.
Okay, now where exactly were you looking at? Prabhupada's purport or what?
The same verse which comes in Bhagavatam, Lakshmi also did not, afraid of going.
Okay, could you look this up? Could you, for homework, can you look up that verse, see what Prabhupada says?
Okay, okay.
And if that doesn't settle it, then we'll look at the commentaries tomorrow.
Okay, okay.
Okay, sorry, Gabriel.
I was just thinking that why it could happen, like we had Lakshmi, who was present there and who was a consort of Lord Vishnu, but not Lord Nrisimhadeva, and then Lord Nrisimhadeva, he appears in his completely different form, which is not known to that form of Lakshmi Devi, and then she couldn't see, because Nrisimhadeva's Lakshmi, she wasn't present there at that time, or she was just
not
in the chair.
It's a different Lakshmi that's there, that's why she doesn't recognize him? You're proposing this.
Yes, my proposal. Okay. Because, for example, for Lord Vishnu's Lakshmi, it's very strange and it's very wonderful. She never saw Lord Vishnu in such an angry mood.
Yes.
She knows that he is very peaceful husband.
Yes.
He's very loving. But in this mood, she couldn't. It was completely out of her scope of recognition.
Then you're indicating that Lord Nrsimha's own Lakshmi wasn't there.
Yeah. Or she could be, but she.
I mean, according to the rule that we just established in the previous paragraph, he does have his own Lakshmi, but somehow the wrong Lakshmi was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, why don't we look at Prabhupada's purport and look at the commentaries and settle this tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay. Anything else about this? We're done with Anucheta 99. We move on to 100. There's only 101 Anuchetas in the book. We're getting near the end. 102, not in my book. 101, I have.
Well, only two Nikita.
Sorry?
Well, only two Anuchetas left. And it's about.
Well, only two Anuchetas, yeah. 100 and 101.
And about 10 paragraphs.
About 10 paragraphs. There are four paragraphs in 100 and five in 101. Okay. About 10 pages left. Okay, well, now we're going to start 100. Let's see what 100 is about. I don't know. Tadevam sachit anandaika rupam swarupa bhut achintya vichitra ananta shakti yukto dharma twa eva dharmi twam. Thus the personality of Godhead is pure eternity, knowledge and bliss. He has unlimited internal... I guess we're summing up now. You know, the whole book is about what is Bhagavan. So now we're summing it up. What is Bhagavan? The personality of Godhead is pure eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He has unlimited internal energies, inconceivable and full of variety. He is both the qualities and the person possessing the qualities. We were in the last Anucheta 99, we were talking about how he is the qualities. He appears as his internal energies. Actually, 98 and 99. Okay. And then also continuing, nirbheda twa eva nana bheda vatvam. Even while devoid of difference, he has many kinds of difference. Arupitva eva rupitvam. Even while formless, he possesses form. Vyapakatva eva madhyamatvam satyam evaiti. Even while all pervasive, he is of medium size. Ityadi paraspara varud ananta gunanidhi stula sukshma vilakshana swapakash akonda swasarupa bhuta shrivigrahas. That all this and more is true means that he is an unlimited ocean of mutually contrary qualities. He has a divine body, non-different from his very self. That body is self-luminous, undivided, and distinct from everything gross and subtle. Tata Bhuta Bhagavad Akya Mukhyaika Vigraha Vyanjita Tadvishananta Vigrahas Tadvisha Sarup Swanurupa Sarupa Shakti Avyabhava Lakshana Lakshmi Ranjita Vamam Shaha. From this one principal bodily form known as the personality of Godhead are expanded unlimited similar bodies. His left side is adorned by the goddess Lakshmi, the form of his internal energy, who appears as suitable for his appearance. Again, on the left. No, that's what it said on the other. No, when we were confused, it said Vamamsha. Here, I have it right here, beginning of 99. One second. Yes? I'm sorry?
There is Lakshmi Narayan temple across the road. It's Lakshmi is on the left side itself. Narayana's left side.
Yeah, Lakshmi is on the left side. And, yeah. And that's what I, that's what I was written. That, hold on a second. That was what was written at the beginning of 99. That she's on the left side. And then we were having a discussion about Radharani being on the right side. And I was told, no, it's the other way around. Okay, then we're fine.
Well, okay.
Radharani is on which side? Lakshmi is on which side? They're both on the same side. No, 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 but when you have Krishna, Radharani is not on the same side that Lakshmi is when you have Vishnu.
For Krishna, Radharani is on the left side, for Narayana,
Lakshmi is on the left side. Okay, I'm not sure about that because I thought they're reversed.
No, many temples.
That's what the argument was about in Jaipur.
Yeah,
they wanted to put, you know, Radharani on the Lakshmi side. As part of what the Gaudiya devotees were upset about. They wouldn't let us put Radharani on the side we wanted to put her on. They wanted to put her on the other side. Go ahead.
If we see in many temples, there Radharani and Lakshmi, they stand on the opposite, on the other side of their lords.
Sorry, say that again?
They stand on the opposite sides of their lords.
Who does?
Radharani and Lakshmi.
They do, don't they? Okay, so let's get it right. Who stands on what side? They stand on opposite sides. I'm almost sure about that. Which side? And it says, Jiva Goswami has told us twice that Lakshmi is on the left. So why isn't Radharani on the right? I'm sorry?
No, they are like Krishna.
Okay. Can someone come up with a picture of Radha and Krishna? How do you computer? I'll get one. Hold on a second. JB Graphics. Okay. Can I see? This is bona fide Radha Krishna. Okay. Okay, Chopa. So. She's on the left.
Lakshmi is on the left side.
But this is the left side, so Lakshmi would be there too.
No, but the other devils, you see, Lakshmi is on this side.
On the right side?
Yeah.
So why does Jiva Goswami say twice that she's on the left side? Is he talking about the Srivatsa on his chest? Is that? No. Which side of the chest is the Srivatsa on? Okay, I don't know. Jiva Swami, it looks like Lakshmi is on, always appears on the right side of Narayan. But Jiva Goswami says left twice.
Yes.
Who is? Okay, bring us a picture. Thank you. You have to look not from in front of Narayan, but on his, from behind Narayan.
Yeah, yeah.
Shri where? Bangalore. I think she's always on the same side. Lakshmi's always on one side and Radharani's always on the other side. Yes?
One thing I've learned in Bengali culture
Yes.
Is that whoever is sitting on the right is elder. This yes. is why Krishna is on the right side. Now, Chandravali is sometimes seen on Krishna's right side and Radharani at the same time is on the left side. And this is, Mahanidhi Swami told me that's because Chandravali is senior to Radharani. Now,
okay.
Now, in Bengali culture, this is another thing Mahanidhi Swami told me, this applies to everything. And so Nityananda is considered Balaram, so he's the elder brother of Krishna. So that's why he's on the right.
Yes.
And but as far as Mahanidhi Swami, he told me, according to the pictures, and so far as the pictures are concerned for the Guru Parampara, he told me that when he came to India, he actually looked around the Gaudiya Math, and he saw that the order of pictures was reversed. In other words, whoever is senior is supposed to be on the right. And here in ISKCON, it's opposite. It's like the Guru Gayatri, someone just put the pictures together, put the words together,
well,
without understanding the order.
I know, but I think Prabhupada gave us these pictures.
Okay, and that's what Mahanidhi Swami told me. And the picture of the Shat Goswamis...
Yeah, since even if Prabhupada gave us it backwards, we took it from Prabhupada, so we'll keep it.
Okay, I didn't know that. But one more thing, so far as the Goswamis are concerned,
yeah.
Probably under this picture, the names are written. Because in my ashram, and I've seen in other ashrams, when the Goswamis are here, the names are written underneath. And that goes by order of seniority.
Yes.
And now, and they go by caste, even though, you know, we don't consider the castes. They say that on the right-hand side, on our left, is supposed to be Gopal Bhatt or Raghunath Bhatt. I forget exactly, because they were Brahmins. They remained celibate. And I forget exactly which one was senior in age at that time. That would be the definitive criterion. And then there was Jiva, because Jiva Goswami never left his caste. And then Sanatan and Rupa, they were outcasts, so to speak. But because Mahaprabhu wanted us to respect the social system.
Well,
so they respect that. That's what I learned in Bengali culture anyway. The person on the right is
more
senior.
Well, okay. That's a little complicated. The thing is... Yeah, but if the order is, which seniority are you talking about? Age, or spiritual position, or social position? Is it all three? That would be quite a coincidence that the order comes out the same on all three levels.
It's classic in Bengali culture that all those pictures have the same names. I don't know exactly what the order is.
Right, but we do have an order. It's there. And but is that order according to social movement? I don't know. I would question that. I would question that. Whether we're concerned, you know, that we consider Rupa Goswami, they have to stand off to the side because they were associating with Muslims. Lord Chaitanya didn't care that they were associating with Muslims. Anyway, definitely they're standing in a particular order of seniority, but I don't know if that we should agree that seniority should be judged according to their social position. Yeah. What caste they were in. It doesn't seem like that's what the Lord Chaitanya was interested in that.
We
show respect, but we don't, you know, also Lord Chaitanya just doesn't show any regard for caste, for social position. Yeah. Okay, I mean, he ate generally in the house of Brahmins. He followed some rules. You know, he followed rules, but as far as whom he had regard for, it didn't really matter what caste. You know, one thing about external behavior, you know, about where you eat your lunch. Another thing about who you really care for, who you really have regard for. He had regard for Haridas Thakur, you know, and he didn't come from the right caste.
In Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, immediately on left hand side they have six Goswami's deities.
Yes, yes.
And whenever I go, they change the names.
They change the names?
Yeah. Means last name I seen Gopal Bhatta Goswami on the leftmost. But afterwards they changed to some other place.
Well, either they were wrong before or they're wrong now. There's no reason why they should change. I mean, the order is a particular order. I don't know. I'm not sure.
But now I'm confused. What is order?
I don't know. Maybe you can tell us. I don't even. I'm not sure. Who's who there in the six Goswamis? Do we have?
I can find out for you if you live in caste or.
I just can't see them here. Yeah.
If it's ashram first, then Varna, then age.
Okay, you can give us like a rundown of why they're in that order. Okay, so I think the order's fixed, though. It's not that it doesn't sound right that they should be moving them around. That means they made a mistake and tried to correct it. Yeah. But the order is fixed.
I'm still trying to reconcile this, what Shri Goswami has said. So, we know that Lakshmi and Narayana, they are husband and wife. But in the case of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, she's not a wife of Krishna. They have no such kind of relationships. They are in Parakiya Rasa. And maybe because of that, Srimati Radharani, she cannot be on Lakshmi's side.
Maybe. That's the question of why she's standing. But first we have to, why she's standing on that side. But we haven't settled the question, which side is she standing on?
Yeah, because it looks like, I looked at many pictures of temples in South India.
Yes.
And in practically every temple, Lakshmi Devi, she's on the right side.
Yes.
So I don't know how to understand what Shunja was saying.
Okay, there's some esoteric reason why Radharani is standing on the other side. I think it's more than just social convention. That may also be there, but I think it's something more.
Yeah. Because I remember also in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada, he said, he quoted this, it was like one argument about that he installed partners around Hidditis in Delhi. And then somebody argued, okay, why is it so? It's not Radha Parthasarathi, Srimati Radharani, she wasn't there in the Kurukshetra, she wasn't fighting. And then he quoted this verse, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikrisir, he told that she's always alone with him, she always accompanies him wherever he goes.
Yes.
So maybe.
But that's a transcendental vision that ordinary devotees can't understand, and therefore Prabhupada was questioned.
So maybe if you take that she's Srimati Radharani, she's Hladini Shakti personified. And
yeah, she's the original Hladini Shakti.
But if you take that Lakshmi Devi, she is not like only Hladini Shakti, but something also mixed or...
She's pure Shakti, but she's secondary Shakti. She's not the first, she's not the original Shakti. Mixed with what?
Some meat Shakti. Like Srimati Radharani, she's only Hladini Shakti, but then...
No, but so is... Oh, I see. Some other Shakti.
Yeah. If you take that Lakshmi Devi, she's engaged in creation in some way, so they should have also some portions of...
Srimati Radharani is not only Hladini Shakti. All the other Shaktis... All the other Shaktis are her expansions.
So
that Hladini Shakti includes within itself all of its amshas.
So maybe because of this difference between Srimati Radharani and Lakshmi Devi or secondary Shakti or some different combination of this three.
I think it's been too complicated. My understanding was that Srimati Radharani is the original Shakti. Mm-hmm. Lakshmi expands from Srimati Radharani. We were reading how Murti, the energy that embodies the Sundani and the Sambhid also, is an expansion of Lakshmi. That makes it an expansion of Radharani. So whatever this Murti is contained within Radharani. That she includes within herself the Sandini potency and the Samvit potency.
Yeah. So if you take it in this way, I don't know, maybe Radharani should be on the side of Lakshmi Devi. Like there shouldn't be any contradiction, unless we take in consideration that they are not husband and wife. But
well, she's not on the same side, but the reason, what the actual reason is, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Several reasons, but yes.
We've talked about the consideration of tattva in concerning this, but there's a consideration of rasa here.
Yes.
Is that Vamangsha, obviously, Vama Swabhav for Radhika. And Chandravali or Lakshmi is Dakshina Swabhav.
Yes.
So that's the reason why Lakshmi is on the right side of Narayan, is because she has a Dakshina Swabhav. She is very submissive.
Yes.
It's a play on words also. It's a rasa vichar.
Yes.
Not only tattva.
That may be the first and most important reason. is the different mood. That by being on the right side, you're acknowledging your submission. I'll be on the left side. Sorry.
Does it mean this connection then when Shri Jiva Goswami says about Lakshmi being Vamanamsha, he actually refers to Srimati Radharani as an
original? I don't think so. I think Lakshmi is on the left side. Right? Well, we just saw Radharani on the left side. So, yeah. Okay, that came to my head that maybe when Jiva Goswami says Lakshmi, he means Radharani. But it doesn't seem to fit the context. He's been talking about Vishnu and Lakshmi's expansions, the 16 energies. Doesn't sound like Radharani. You know, that would solve the problem, but I don't think it fits. Yeah.
This point of Lakshmi staying on the right side of Narayan, yeah. Also Sita is always stands on the right side of Ram.
Yes.
So, and the Deya Prabandham quotations also that Lakshmi is residing on the right chest of Lord Narayan.
So, on the right side of the chest.
Yeah, of Narayan.
Okay, so we're left with the... Yes, go ahead.
When Narayan stands with Shri and Bhu, both energies...
On both
then
sides.
They stand on both sides. But if you are seeing only husband and wife, Lakshmi and Narayan, Lakshmi always takes the right side of Narayan.
Okay, so we're left now with the puzzle. It really boils down to this. Why does Jiva Goswami say left side?
Yeah.
It seems like it's always the right side.
Yeah.
Where? Up on the street? Well, maybe because some Gujaratis established that deity and they were Radha Krishna worshippers and Lakshmi Narayan worshippers took it over.
Yeah.
What I know of the history of that temple, it is one of the original Divyadeshams, of the 1008 Divyadeshams.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is. But the original deities aren't there. The deities that are there now were put there by some Gujarati devotees and were probably worshipped originally as Radha Krishna. And then Lakshmi Narayan devotees, in fact they didn't, it's still worshipped by Gujaratis, that temple. Even though it's originally one of the Sri Vaishnava temples. Lakshmi Narayan used to be there, but they're not there anymore. And actually it's Radha Krishna on that altar, that's why it's on that. Okay, but it's on the, she's on the Radharani side.
On the right side?
Well, that would help. That would solve it too. That we're not talking about standing on the side, but on the chest.
No, the Deva Prabandham says, Lakshmi, O Lakshmi, who you are residing on the right chest of Narayan. One point. Second point, the deities of Lakshmi Narayan, we saw around 50 pictures here. You can show.
And she's on the right side.
Sita and Lakshmi, we all
see okay.
On the other side.
So the question is, why does Jiva Goswami say Vamamsha? Twice.
Is this only for standing posture or sitting posture? Because for sitting
posture... Well, sitting deities of Vishnu are rare. And I don't know of any sitting Lakshmi sitting next to Vishnu. Are there any?
Also they're on the same side.
You mean that Lakshmi is sitting also?
Yeah,
okay, also on that side.
But in Mahabharata, twice the explanation comes that Uttara wanted to marry Arjuna. So, she, because he was training her in dance, so when Arjuna was sitting, Uttara came and sat on his lap. Yeah. So, she sat on a lap and she told, I want to marry with you. Then Arjuna told, actually this lap is meant for wife and this lap is meant for daughter. I don't exactly remember which lap which indicates, but one of the lap is meant for daughter and one of the lap is meant for wife.
Yes.
So she was sitting on her daughter's lap, which actually daughter should sit.
Yes.
And then he told, because you are sitting on a wrong lap, I cannot accept you as a wife. But I will accept you as a daughter in the sense of daughter-in-law. Then he told that you get married with Abhimanyu. And same thing happens at the starting, that Ganga wanted to marry Mahabhisham Raja. Yeah, that Raja came afterwards as a Shantanu, that in Swargaloka, Ganga wanted to marry some Mahabhish Raja and she also sat on wrong side and that's what
Okay.
So is this like in for sitting postures the one?
Oh no, I don't think that's the same as which side you should stand on. That's just laps. That's just legs.
Few occasions where Narayan is holding Lakshmi on his lap, or Varaha Devi is holding Lakshmi on his lap, she is on the side of same side of Srimati Radharani, the other side.
Which side?
Other side, left side of Narayan.
Because that's where the wife should sit, right?
That all the picture shows that okay. Varaha Devi is carrying.
Okay. Anyway, the pictures are all right. We just puzzled why Jiva Goswami says left.
And Divya Prabandham quotation is there. Maybe some other quotations can be also be there. Divya Prabandham's quotation says on the right hand side of Narayan.
Yes.
She resides on the chest of right hand side.
Okay. All right. Maybe we can ask our devotees in Mayapur to ask some pundits there in Navadvipa if they have an answer to this. Why Jiva Goswami said that? There's a few pundits in Navadvipa know Sundarbas. Okay, we have to stop. We're 10 minutes over time. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you.